5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Drill. I am Pierce, joined as always by Scott. We are barreling into week four. We got a full slate to talk about. We're gonna go do some word play, some word superlatives for what we saw out of a few teams and a few players in week three. But fortunately, we gotta start this talking about some shit that we shouldn't be talking about, and that's player safety, and that's the egregious actions that a team let out literally just 4 days after they let him come back on the field to begin with in the first place. And, you know, it's crazy. Into 2022, we're still doing this thing where we're sending – I thought we had been completely done with after a quarterback goes – or the person goes into concussion protocol. They ain't coming back. Not only did we see a person come out of concussion protocol to win a game Sunday – 4 days later, he's back on a field. And it just, yeah. It's aggravating to have seen what happened to Tua, but it's also more aggravating to know that it was 1,000% preventable.
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean, everybody with, well, this is the perfect word, yeah, everybody with a brain saw what
I've been
happened.
Trying to find a different word
than yeah, like me too.
All day.
I couldn't think of a different word, but everybody with some sense saw this motherfucker, Tua, moving around like he just got rope-a-doped on Sunday and wondering what the hell was he doing back in the game. So if we can see this, and we have no medical degrees, we don't have no doctor experience whatsoever, I'm pretty sure the dudes who actually do this every day know that too. Like, there was no reason that Tua should have been on the field. And just one thing I point that I just didn't like more than anything is you got a couple of these players out here like that's part of the game. Like Tony Gonzalez was licking mad boots last night in the post game. And we're not doctors up here. Like, you know, that sounds very how people
but
say
you,
about the
you're
vaccine.
You're not doctors, but you are former football players. And in Tony Gonzalez's case, a Hall of Fame football player and somebody that's been in that predicament. Like, it was really shameful to listen to that and, you know, the booth last night and how certain entities treated what we saw, all because they kind of have to, because we saw what happened last time they pissed off the National Football League when it came to, I think you said it afterwards, man, Roger Goodell fucking saw Tua get car off the field. He lit up a stogie and said, all right, man, it's fourth, third and fourth. What y'all got? What
right.
You got, Teddy B?
When he found out that nigga was leaving the hospital, that nigga cracked up with another Modelo. Oh, we good.
We are not good. I have no idea what doctor would have okayed for a player to be sent home on a plane after having a concussion 4 days after possibly having another concussion. It's insane to me. Like, we have precedent of these things, of players going on planes right after suffering a brain injury or brain trauma, going into, you know, having seizures and lives possibly being on the line. Like, it's amazing how Tua is still breathing right now. And I'm not being, I'm not hyperbolizing that. Like, we gotta stop acting like that is a part of the game. It's the part of the game that for the last like 15 or so years, folks have been adamant about changing.
Yeah.
Not just the doctors and the scientists, but the players that have seen their elders drop off because it was a part of the game. Like, yeah. That shit can't happen. And it needs to be an actual investigation, not an NFL one, not a one by the Miami Dolphins, because I don't trust a damn word that comes out of either's mouth.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to hear anything from whoever's controlling the owner, the Dolphins. It's not the owner, because the owner's, you know, dealing with his own shit after the Brian Flores stuff. I don't want to hear from Al Michaels or Kirk Herbstreit. I'm kind of hesitant to say Troy Aikman, because, yeah, Troy Aikman is someone that's been through that. But
they said Troy Aikman get a concussion opening up an envelope. I forgot what tweet I saw.
Jesus Christ, that's terrible. I guess I really want to see empathy out of the NFL and its partners, because, you know, we continue to watch this product, even though we know, you
but
know,
that's the cold hard truth.
Yes, it's a cold hard truth. I'm not like saying it's wrong, but what I'm saying is, if we're going to continue to watch this and continue to divulge in it, we do have an obligation to do right by these players and by the folks that are on the field every Sunday, and that is the keeping player safety at the utmost, at the forefront. And Miami Dolphins didn't. It was shameful as hell that the Miami Dolphins didn't.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a mix of both. Like, yes, we would like more accountability.
I'm not doing an Emmanuel Acho, by the way.
It was not
an Emmanuel Acho.
That nigga, man. But like, you know, there needs to be a little more accountability. Like, and just from a football perspective, now I don't know. We haven't seen much about Mike McDaniel to not think he's sincere, but I did think his press conference this morning was sincere. I just feel like he's been put in an awkward position as a coach. You know what I'm saying? You know, and they talk these players, and I think I don't know if it was Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman said some real shit too. Richard Sherman said that the fact of the matter is this, that he said they didn't tell him to sit because they knew that Bills Dolphins game was game of the week. And that's pretty much what it is. And Tony Gonzalez was there, like he said, nigga on set. But that's pretty much what it is. Like, it's all about, and what Vince say, it's all about the money. That's what the NFL is. Like, nobody turned the channel. Nobody, like, and this is the fucked up part of it, but nobody.
Well, I guess turn the channel.
Or turned off device. Amazon Prime. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Listen, that's starting to get weird now.
Well, yeah, y'all better get used to it. And so,
it's great. I love it. I'm just saying, like, the terminology we got.
Yeah, it's funny. But it's like they, you know, nobody turned the game off. Nobody switched it. Oh, let me go to HBO Max real quick. Nobody did that. And honestly, I don't even believe the people who tweeted that they did last night. That's some shit that I want to make look like I care on Twitter shit.
Yeah, we got to stop doing this whole, oh, you guys continue to watch the NFL. Of course I'm going to continue to fucking watch the NFL. That's not my issue.
Be very clear. Roger Goodell could call me a nigga to my face. I'm tuning in on Sunday. I just love the sport.
Because the simplest shit is, we just got to get Roger Goodell out of here. Like, the answer isn't to stop watching. The answer is to push and push and push the people in charge to do their goddamn job and protect the players. It's not that hard of a concept.
Yeah. But you know, Twitter does this thing whenever there's a big topic or whatever.
Bullshit.
Everybody act like they give a fuck. You don't really give a fuck. Like, you know, and I feel like you can be concerned for the player. Yes, I was concerned for Tua, and you never want to see a man throwing up Pyru as soon as he just got tackled on the floor. That shit is scary. He shouldn't have been playing.
They didn't let the GDs in the door.
You're right. He shouldn't have been playing. But I'll be a damn liar if I sit here and told you that 10 minutes later, I wouldn't think, damn, nigga, now I got to watch Teddy Bridgewater for the next 45 minutes.
I was and that's actually a question we're going to talk about in a minute. I was actually sitting there for a minute and watching, like, yo, can Teddy Bridgewater take the Miami Dolphins to the playoffs? That 3-0. It's so cyclable.
It's, you know, like, I'm sitting there like, man, I just made these tacos, nigga. I think I'm going to watch Burrow versus Tua. Now I got to watch fucking Teddy Bridgewater. So, yeah, to the point, like, you can be concerned. One thing about a human being is not one person. And one thing that's annoying about Twitter is this fake care line that everybody just goes sloping down every fucking time. And it's fucking annoying.
It's ridiculous. It's shitty. And I want to change, but we wish Tua all the best and all the
health. The best, man.
I pray to God that he does not play football for a while, and that's for his own health. That's not because he got is 10 days truly off. Hurt.
Yeah, you know how it is. They can be like, well, you know, he had a mini bye.
No, because no one's going to tell him to sit. He's going to want to play no matter what. But you know, it's going to be on him and his family and, you know, smart fucking people, which apparently doesn't exist in the Miami Dolphins organization, telling him, you got to sit out. You can't play. And to be frankly honest with you, if I'm Tua Tagovailoa, I don't play another down for the Miami Dolphins.
I mean, yes.
That's an over-exaggeration, but in theory, yes.
But we all know, you know, he's a football player. It takes a different kind of nigga to play football. And I also think, I forgot what Chiefs player tweeted this. He said that, you know, he's not going to say no. He doesn't want to let his teammates down. Nah. And then he wants to play with. And also, from a personal standpoint, Tua's actually looking good right now. I think he wants to keep playing. No matter how we feel like, you know, he shouldn't do this or that, it's just not going to happen. These football niggas are wired a different way. You got to be wired to play that type of sport.
And that's what I'm saying. It's going to have to be someone else. It's going to have to come from either within, which is very hard, or it's going to have to be someone else, someone very close to it, to just be like, hey, bro,
yeah,
this shit's not worth the long-term effects.
I would sit him for at least two games. And that leads to our next topic, because I think Teddy Bridgewater is serviceable.
I've said that for years. You know, like, I liked him last year in Denver. I thought if he didn't get hurt last year in Denver, then they maybe would have been in that, like, little range where the Raiders and Chargers and all them teams were in.
What they could possibly make it. We got to talk about the Raiders because these niggas, man.
Stanky pain. Teddy is a fine quarterback. It's a great thing that the Dolphins got out to a 3-0 lead. Because that gives Teddy a lot of wiggle room to, you know, make mistakes, try things. Now, he probably can't lose two or three in a row, and I have to look up the Dolphins' schedule to see.
I'm looking that up as we speak right now.
What's it looking like? But
they play the Jets next week.
That's a win.
And then the Vikings at the crib the week after. So those possible are two winnable games. Yeah.
Right. And
then they play the Steelers after that.
The Vikings too.
And the Lions and the Bears and the they got a soft schedule coming up.
Right,
they don't play a team that's like worth a damn till they see the Niners, and that's like in December, nigga. Like,
right. Teddy has been gifted with two great wide receivers. Tyreek Hill, although he didn't get into the end zone yesterday, was getting his, and Jalen Waddle was solid. You know, so if you're the Dolphins, I think you feel good with Teddy for as long as he's got to go. There is no need to rush Tua back. Or to you know, force him to play. You know, he shouldn't have fucking played, you know, yesterday, and everyone knows it. Now, I think, you know, give the reins to Teddy B for as long as he needs to, and then when Tua is back and healthy and ready to go, let's plug Tua back in. I actually think that's perfect case scenario, because if Teddy looks good against this soft schedule,
you can see
now – not only that, you can sit him longer, but now when he's fully healthy, you got two QBs that, you know, you don't want to talk about a quarterback controversy, da-da-da, but
no, definitely not it.
You can make that system work with both quarterbacks, I think, because they both offer different things. They
both
give different traits.
With Mike McDaniel's system in general, there's one thing I noticed in the game, even after Tua left, the play calls didn't change. Like, it was still fluid offense running, and they had a chance to win that game with the end, even without Tua.
I think Mike McDaniel will be able to scheme up some real weird, funky shit that's contingent on both of these quarterbacks playing well, you know, and Tua being healthy. So I think that creates a lot of intrigue. I think it's as if – if this was going to happen, it's best case scenario for the Dolphins, because they 3-1 and they know what they got to do that can go out there and you know, manage a football game.
Yep, definitely. You always need a solid backup quarterback, like even like with the Bears. And I want to get your opinion on Justin later, but I'd be fine with Trevor Siemian for 2-3 games. Like, I feel like he's a solid backup. I think he's a solid backup. I mean, obviously he's not Teddy Bridgewater, but I think he's a solid backup, bro.
I listen, I'm not sitting here for an act like I watched a lot of Trevor Siemian in Denver or
I seen a lot of Trevor Siemian in Denver. That was always a late window.
Off of y'all out west.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the last I really saw Trevor Siemian was when he's at Northwestern. So I can't sit here and like say I know him. I don't feel good. We'll talk about that though. Let's actually kind of, you know, switch to the game though. The Bengals got the dub last night. They've won two in a row. Jesus, I don't know who the fuck's having a lobotomy outside, but the Bengals 27-15 got that weird wonky double digit win just because Teddy didn't want it enough. But do you trust these Cincinnati Bengals? Because I feel like all of the smelliness that I have been saying about Zach Taylor for at least two seasons now is coming to light.
Oh, Zach Taylor was 100% under surveillance. Like, and I was with you last year when you said that too. I was like, this doesn't put makeup on how bad Zach Taylor is. Like, they made a Super Bowl in spite of Zach Taylor. Like, the reason they were down 18 in the Super Bowl, I mean, the AFC Championship, had a lot to do with fucking Zach Taylor. So, anybody who's been paying attention knows that. But as far as trust, I would say this a month in, not impressed. Like, we both were high on this team coming in. I think we both pegged them for 13 wins, and that could still happen. But actually, it could, but they had to play borderline perfect. That's probably not going to happen. But
especially because they play in the first place schedule.
Right.
It's not going to be easy for them.
I won't say that I don't not trust them yet. I'm going to give them about another month before I can really say if I don't trust them. I would just say I'm not impressed yet. That offensive line, they don't look like they did anything to the offensive line. Joe is still getting 3D mm-hmm. through tables multiple times a week. I'm going to give Joe a pass. He was throwing some bullshit yesterday. He still come back from that appendix. I give him that. But Ja'Marr Chase got to give me more, dog. Yeah. Ja'Marr Chase, there was multiple times on the field these last two games. I forgot this nigga was on the field. Now, T. Higgins has stepped up and did what he had to do.
Big time.
But I want to, when they go against him, when they go against the Baltimore, you know what I'm saying? When Nasty Man gets back, you know what I'm saying? Even against Cleveland right now, Cleveland yeah. giving issues right now. That's going
to
be something we're going
to
see.
The Bills. They're
yeah,
still
how
have
good
to play
this
Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a tough road for the squad once they got to go up against better teams. And, you know, I thought the Bengals were going to be straight now. Just judging off, of course, those first two losses, but then how they've looked, you know, even against the Jets, they were kind of giving the Jets opportunity, like, hey, you want to get back
saying.
In this?
That score lied. That game was closer
lot,
than that score.
A lot closer so. Than it yeah. looked. So, and of course, I don't like Zach Taylor. I thought that to have the ball on the goal line as many times as you did and just call the same goddamn play over and over and over again to Joe Mixon and not find a way to get the ball in.
You should lose your job for attempting the field goal on fourth and one, like at the 1 yard
line. Multiple times.
Like, you should be fired.
Multiple
like, what are we
times,
doing?
So.
Like, grow set and run the fucking play.
Yeah. But we sit here, the Bengals are 2-2. It is what it is. Let's play. What's the word? Let's throw it back to PTI.
Oh man, I miss when that show was like great. Now it's like two angry old men yelling.
I can't.
I give them credit for still being on TV because them niggas been on TV since I was like in sixth grade. So I give them credit for being on TV that long. But I'm like, nigga, pull the plug.
See, I loved PTI because, and I think PTI turned 21 this year, which means Around the Horn turns 20. This
yeah.
month, because now we're in the month of October.
New cast.
Right. Yeah. I'm just saying, it's crazy to think because when they both came out, Around the Horn came out 20 years ago this month, PTI 21 years ago this month, and I
yeah,
just
Around the Horn, PTI Sports Center.
It was so needed because like we're used to like close up with Jim Rome or like the sports reporters and shit, and like. All these
sports
boring
reporters.
Ass old
yeah,
ass
sports,
white
sports,
men.
Sports reporters was bored with some old niggas. But I fucked with these sports reporters.
I
on
only
Sundays.
Fucked with the sports reporters on Sundays
during
up
football
early season.
Yeah,
because it would be sports reporters, and then Bob Lee would come on and do
outside
what's my joint
lines.
Outside the lines.
And
so
then
I
it
always
would be Sunday countdown. That's
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. But like, if one during football season, I can fuck about sports reporters.
Oh yeah, outside of football season, nobody's watching that shit.
But. Yeah, nah. But like, yeah, when that came out, like it was so different for the landscape. And, you know, now to think like damn, it's 20 years ago. It's yeah, and then remember where
crazy,
I was.
Bro.
It's crazy. But You know, if you remember PTI, you know the game will throw. God, it's windy as hell out here. I don't know if you can hear it, but yeah, remnants of Ian are like starting to pop up. So I don't even know if I want to go out tonight.
Fall weather's in the East Coast and Midwest. LA still thinks it's fucking July out here with it being 90 fucking 5 degrees.
Yeah. I mean, hey, burning hell, I guess. but yeah, let's get started, man. Let's get started with some word association. First word or, you know, phrase is Jalen Hurts. I want you to give me one word to describe Jalen Hurts so far this season.
Confident. Like, he looks confident. He believes in the offense. He believes in the throws and the passes he's making. You know, you can just tell when a QB is confident. Basically, everything that Justin Fields wasn't on Sunday is what you see in Jalen Hurts, and even in the huddles. You know, I like, you know, when they post some little post game speeches in the locker room, he sounds like he's the leader. He sounds like he believes it, and his team believes in him. So I would use the word confident.
I don't know if this would be a word or a sound, but my word for Jalen Hurts is ding. You know how when, you know, you crafting some real good fucking food, man, you throw that shit in the oven, you got your oven light on, you're sitting there watching it, and you're patiently waiting. You know, it's not ready. It's not ready yet, but you're watching it. And it's building, it's getting better, it's growing, it's cooking, and all of a sudden, ding.
It's ready.
It's ready. That's Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is showing now his year three that he's ready to be what the Eagles need out of that quarterback position. And, you know, we talk about Justin, and Justin is very much what Jalen was last couple years, still trying to learn a system and learn an offense, and the game is not slowing down for him.
Yeah.
He needs to continue to learn, continue to grow, continue to cook and develop. And I guess we could talk about it now to an extent. Really bother me the regression I'm seeing out of him. Like, it's bad. It's horrid. Like, the regression from last season, that Steeler game, for example, to what we're seeing now out of Justin, holding on for the ball too damn long. And I keep hearing the excuse of, oh, well, guys aren't getting open.
No, niggas
is open. On those interceptions, there were guys open.
No, niggas is open.
On both of those interceptions, there were guys open.
It's one thing you can see from the press box. Them niggas was open.
So it's really unsettling, the regression I'm seeing for him. And I know that he's a kid that watches film and digests film and tries to learn from his mistakes. So I truly don't know what it is.
Preparing for a gunfight and being in the middle of the fire are two different things.
Exactly. It truly is. And maybe, like, he's learning that now, the difference from college to now is like, yo, you still have you. There's still more work to be done.
Yeah.
So allow him to continue to cook and gel and mold with his receivers and mold within this offense.
And like, also,
I'm frustrated. Let me finish up. I'm frustrated. Give him time. Like, yo, he might be ass. He might be ass, and we might end up having to look for another quarterback. But be patient. It's not going to be an overnight thing. You knew it wasn't an overnight thing when you traded up to draft him 2 years ago. And I feel like Jalen Hurts and what we're seeing out of Jalen Hurts is even more example of, and even to an extent, even are more examples of give these guys more than a couple years. Yep. It's so rare to be a great quarterback right out the gate. We got so accustomed to seeing guys come out of the gate and be good to great that we don't let guys develop at the quarterback position. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. And to me, it's like there's two things. Like you said, patience. You know, he did look like he in his first three games, he looks worse than he looked all last season. So, yeah, there is a little bit of regression that's concerning. Like you said, we got to wait it out. And so, and also on the opposite side, too, if he goes out there and throws four touchdowns on Sunday, there's no need to throw a parade, nigga. Like, we can't be the extreme every week. Even if he goes out here and throw four touchdowns, we can't act like this nigga's arrived. Like, it's got to be consistent type of thing. And
you got to find the healthy balance of not coddling him and, you know, holding him accountable for his mistakes when he's making mistakes, when he is playing like a bad quarterback, but then also not ruining his confidence.
Yes. And I also feel like one thing I'm tired of hearing about Bears fans is acting like Getsy isn't calling pass plays. Now, take the Green Bay Packer game out of it. The first one was a rainy game. He still called 20 pass plays. This man called about 23 pass plays on Sunday. Justin got sacked 5 times. And there's a couple where Justin runs instead of throwing. So all together, they're giving him attempts. You know what I'm saying? It's just he's got to actually make the most of them. So that's the one thing that I think Bears fans got to stop doing. But I'll say there's one last thing before I wrap this up. I'll say there's some concerning traits that I see from Justin, but I'm not pressing the concern or panic button yet. I'm going to give him the entire season for me to at least have an idea of what he might be. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, because it takes a minute.
Yep. The Green Bay Packers got the win in prime time barely. It took Tom Brady in a delayed game to get it. But Green Bay is 2-1 now. What's the one word that you would use to describe the Green Bay Packers so far?
I don't know if it's one word, it's a couple words. It's you can't fool a real nigga. In the words of Joe Budden, anybody knows this team stinks. Like anybody with eyes can see this offense ain't it. Yes, they have a decent defense. They got a really good running game. The passing game is not it. He has there's no fluidity to it. And yes, the Chicago Bears have scored more offensive points than the Green Bay Packers 3 games in. Now that this is not a stat I made up. This is facts. Like, yes, they've won the game against the Buccaneers, and I'm not giving any excuse for any Buccaneers. There's two things that stood out to me. One, Aaron Rodgers was playing with a starting wide receiving core. These niggas scored 14 points. Tom Brady was on his fourth options for wide receivers. Fourth. These niggas signed Cole Beasley on Thursday. This nigga played on Saturday, and he was still that close to knocking them off. This is a concerning trait for the Packers. Yes, the Packers probably going to make easy work of the Patriots this week. But long term and for the season, all Rodgers cares about is getting rings, obviously. You know, this is one of, you know, he's towards the end of his career. He wants to get rings. This team not only not going to get rings, this team smells like a Super Wild Card weekend first round exit. So I'm just not impressed by anything I've been seeing from the offense. This is all Packer hate aside. This isn't the usual Packer offense that we're used to seeing, and we're seeing just how big of a loss Devontae Adams truly is. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling, too. But they miss him also.
Yeah. My one word would be unimpressive. I've seen the Packers as high as third on some teams or some people's power rankings, higher than the Eagles, and I want to understand why. I want to understand what you saw out of them beating the Bears, which they always do, and beating a Tampa Bay team that not only, like you said, was missing a lot of men and are also kind of struggling there on that line. They didn't score a lot of points. But then they let Tampa almost come back and win that. And if it wasn't for that delayed game, there's a good chance that they convert on that two-point conversion and you're going to overtime. And who knows if you are 2-1 or 1-2. I don't look at that game or that win by the Packers as something to – you know, oh, they're back. Oh, they're all right. Well, they're still the crown jewel of the NFC, because we've seen what happens to the quote-unquote crown jewel of the NFC once it gets to crunch time in the NFC playoffs. Yep. And I think we cannot look at these little victories. And, yeah, they probably will go on a tear and be 13-4 or 14-3. Sound impressive to me. Either play like certain other teams in the league and dominate consistently, give me a reason to believe in you, or stop looking unimpressive against teams that you'll probably be seeing again in January. Otherwise, I'm not falling for it. So unimpressive would be my word.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100% on that one, man.
Jimmy G had his first start back as the 49ers quarterback. They did not win. It was an 11-10 ball game, and it was 11-10 because
one of the worst football games I've seen in my life.
It truly was like I would rather shoot myself in the head. And the crazy thing is, and for a time, you could argue that the Monday night game was worse. We'll talk about the Monday night game in just a bit.
I was kind of entertained by the Monday night game. I'm not gonna lie.
Huh?
I was kind of entertained by the Monday night. Because
I was entertained because I didn't watch until the second half.
Okay.
I think first I didn't start watching. Oh, yes, it was. My girlfriend was like, "Babe, you want to watch the football game?" And I'm just like, "I don't want to subject you to that."
Cooper Rush, Daniel Jones, ESPN Clear HD.
We were fucking watching Raw up until the point where like I caught up with it live, and I was like, "Well, fuck, I gotta watch the football game now." And then yeah, the football game was kind of decent, but it was not a good game, and neither was Sunday. And it was an 11-10 score because Jimmy G pulled a Dan Orlovsky, and if Jimmy G didn't pull a Dan Orlovsky, he probably would have thrown a pick six, and they still would have lost. But
yeah.
You know, that's the difference between a win and a loss, though. What's your one word for Jimmy G?
Mediocre. This is who the fuck he is. Like, anybody, this is why they traded up to get Trey Lance. This is why they gave the keys to Trey Lance, because Jimmy G, 1 week, can look really fucking good. He can look like a guy who could take you to the Super Bowl, a guy take you to the NFC Championship game. And then the next week, he looked like just the worst nigga on planet Earth. This is just who he is. He's been in the league long enough for you to understand his pattern. Sometimes you're going to get a performance like you got on Sunday. Next week, you might get 3 touchdowns. So there's nothing about this that was shocking. I think the one thing that is a little shocking, not particularly with Jimmy G, with the Niners, they're not running the ball as effectively as they used to. And when you have that, you need better from Jimmy G. But you can't get mad at somebody for being who they are, and Jimmy G is mediocre.
Horrified is my word for Jimmy G, because Jimmy G has to be horrified that his left tackle for the foreseeable future will not be Trent Williams, because the absence of Trent Williams had Jimmy G scared for his fucking life on Sunday. And if he's not, if they don't have him, he's really the anchor of that offense. And like, the line diminishes tremendously. What they can do diminishes tremendously without Trent Williams. I am very worried for Jimmy G. His pockets are going to be a little tighter, and that could really, really start to hurt them. They got a big game Monday night against the Rams.
Yeah,
NFC Championship game rematch.
Another struggling offense right now.
And you know, you're 1-2. There's not a lot of room for error right now. And understand, like, yeah, true, Arizona is not playing up to snuff right now. Do you trust the Seattle Seahawks? Because I don't.
No one does.
But
yeah, you shouldn't.
I guess I'm just speaking to somebody that's in that locker room. You really don't want to let the Rams go 2-1 and then they have a game on you. And then you're 1-3 staring up. Like, this is a game that not just to get ahead of the Rams, but just to, you know, keep morale up for this season, you know, you really need. So if I'm Jimmy G, I'm horrified going into Monday night without my left tackle. And, you know, Kyle, whatever that relationship is right now with Kyle Shanahan, it does don't look good.
Yeah, the Shanahan family in general gets away with murder, but that's a whole.
Did you see the picture? It was Kyle Shanahan, Nathaniel Hackett, and Sean Hockley. You had Kyle Shanahan, son of Mike Shanahan, Nathaniel Hackett, son of Paul Hackett, former OC. I think he was a head coach too. And then Sean Hockley, son of Ed Hockley. And it was just like the poster children for
nepotism
in the National Football League.
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking bad. But let's move on. The New England Patriots are going to be without Mac Jones for a little bit. He's officially out for Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. I'm really mad that that's like the CBS. Actually, no, I'm not, because I ain't going to be watching the thing anyway. That's going to be a nap for me. What's your one word for the New England Patriots?
It's 2 words. Family man. It's time for Bill Belichick to go home. Yeah. You had a great run. You're arguably the best coach of all time. You got six championships. Don't spend your last days coaching Mac Jones. Go home.
My one word is Canton. Mr. Belichick.
It's time to go home.
It's time to go to Canton. It's time for you to get the fuck out of football. And that's not because you're not good anymore. It's really because it's not worth it anymore. Why bother? Why bother, sir?
Yeah.
Maybe he knew that he needs to stay as long as possible so Josh McDaniels didn't get the job.
That might be part of it, too. That might be part. You're not going to soil my legacy and have him be my successor.
Nah, see, I told you he's fucking trash.
Yeah,
told you he wasn't shit what I mean.
Exactly. You're not going to do that.
Yeah. Dallas Cowboys got a big win on Monday night over the New York Giants. They're 2-1, 2-0 without Dak. And it looks like the demise of Dallas Cowboys is greatly exaggerated. Give me a word for the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm impressed considering everything they've gone through. Jerry Jones being senile and adding absolutely nothing to the team. Losing Tyron Smith during training camp. You know, them trading Amari Cooper away. Dak getting hurt. Cooper Rush is out here looking serviceable. And this is the NFC East. I know the Eagles are 3-0 right now. Could be 4-0 on Sunday. But this is the NFC East. Nothing is over until it's over. They have a chance to make this a legitimate race in the NFC East. If they can, this defense is going to keep them in every ball game. So if they can just do the small things, I still got the Eagles winning the division, but they could give us some go. So I'm going to say I'm impressed with what I've seen so far.
I got another two words for you. I got two words for you. In that bitch. Because the Dallas Cowboys are in that bitch. Cooper Rush has not lost it. He has been able to weather the storm. And because of that, the Dallas Cowboys are 2-1. They're still behind the Eagles. But, of course, two games against the Eagles, including that big one on Christmas Eve in Dallas. The Eagles are clearly better than Dallas. But, like you said, it's the NFC East. And if you're Dallas, not only are you in it for the division, you are in it for the playoffs and the wild card. And you have to be very happy despite losing Dak. And they're going to rush the fuck out of Dak. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. They try to rush from this week. Be like, nigga, I can't even palm a football right now.
Okay. Relax,
man. One thing that's funny, I don't know if this is funny to you, but it'd be funny to me when you see an injured player with headsets on. Like when I be seeing Dak and TJ Watt dressed like assistants, that should be at me done.
Yeah, she is kind of funny. But yeah, no, you do not need Dak to play against Carson Wentz and the Washington Commanders. You know what you need to do? You need to blitz.
You need to breathe. That's what you need to do.
No.
You breathe and you can win that game.
Blitz, 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 blitz all over them. Jonathan Gannon does not blitz. That man had like 9 or 10 sacks on last Sunday. So he's food. Charles Leno is his left tackle. He's food.
And him and his racist wife. I'm going to keep saying that every time we bring up Buddy name. I
always forget that she exists. And, you know, this is going to be the worst game on Sunday. So if you really want to watch it like a degenerate gambler, I actually think this is not the national game. This is the second game, the number two game that Fox
is going to have. Push football back about 3 decades.
Yeah, it is going to be a crime against humanity in MetLife. And I might be in attendance for it, barring any weather fuck ups. The Bears and the Giants. Give me one word for the Bears and the Giants.
Skip. That's
the word we're going.
Skip.
Yeah. 100%. If I wasn't a Bears fan, there's absolutely no way I'd be spending my Sunday mornings watching this. But I will be watching this. I'm going to say skip. Only thing I can say, and this is for every Bears game at this point, Justin, just don't make me want to throw my remote or throw something in the press booth. Like, this is the first Sunday I have all season where I can sit home and audibly cuss at my television because I'd be like this, like in the booth because I can't show emotion. Like, I was visibly upset at that wide open in Cole Kmet, and he just floated that bitch up for a pick. I want to throw something in there. You know what I'm saying? By the way, I just want to give a quick shout out. to the Bears for stepping up the catering game, giving niggas actual breakfast and lunch before. Because last year they gave us Dunkin' Donuts. So I want to, I don't know if this is Ryan Poles or the Park District finally woke up. But
it's probably Ryan Poles.
Good shit. I had very good breakfast the last 2 weeks.
Very nice. That's also why I know that I can never cover the Chicago Bears, because that's the one team that my emotions will pour over. Yeah.
I've gotten better, but last week I almost had a moment.
I did have a moment. The end of the first half, I had a moment. Like, I made it a point not to yell over the Chicago Bears in front of my girlfriend. It took me till week three.
Right, right. She sees the real you.
It took me to week three. I'm like, at the top of my lungs, what the fuck are you doing? You have three timeouts. I was so beside myself. I, for a second, was like, yeah, I can't do this shit no more. I can't do this shit no more. And I'm nearing that point. I'm nearing the point where my love for Chicago Bears might not be worth this shit. You know? So, like, that's me as well. Like, yeah, I love this team too fucking much to get kicked out of a press box, because I will scream over this fucking team. I will. I cannot stand what they do to my blood and my nerves. Girl! My word. God, I have a lot of words. Putrid's one of them. Because it's going to be fucking putrid. Degenerates, one. But my word for Bears Giants this Sunday is loser. In order to watch that game on Sunday when there's so much other football being played, you might be a loser. If you look at your girlfriend and you say, you know what, babe? I know you really want to go apple picking. You really wanted to go to an orchard. You know, you've wanted to go see that movie that's in theaters for a while now, and we've just been putting off. You know, hey, there's that new restaurant. We should go get brunch, but I can't this week because the Bears and Giants are playing and I got to watch. If you say that, you might be a loser.
Yeah.
Maybe you like, hey, there's a good opportunity to win some money on this game. These teams suck ass. So I might be able to find that one little edge to get me a victory on Sunday. You might be that degenerate gambler that's going to watch Bears and Giants on Sunday. And you know what, sir? Win or lose, you are still a loser.
It's the process that makes you a loser.
To endure that game on Sunday, you have to be a loser. And guess what? I am waiting up until the clock Sunday to see what the weather report is like, so I can hop on a bus and then hop on a train, get to MetLife in Jersey and watch the Bears and Giants live. You want to know why? Some lizard.
She admitted to yourself, we're all losers who root for
I root for the Chicago Bears, man. I'm a fucking loser. You have to be a loser. Root for any of these two franchises.
Yeah, you really God. Do. Well, at least the Giants have won World Super Bowls and, you know, in the new millennium.
Yes, but like the last decade of Giants football has probably set them back 30 years. So.
Yeah, but I would take that if I got to see a championship as, you know, as an adult.
Exactly.
Or at all, because they won 3 years before I was even a thought on this earth.
Yeah, fair point. Let's start talking about the games. Let's start giving spreads. Let's start with that game. Bears at Giants in MetLife. The number's been coming down. I got it at 3.5, which I don't know how the fuck you gave the Bears that half point. Three is a key number if you don't understand, because a lot of games will either end in threes and sevens. I'm seeing 2.5 at certain places. So a lot of folks are starting to come in on the Bears, money coming in on the Bears. I think the Bears win this game outright. I look at these two teams, and yes, they are very similar. The one difference is while I really trust the Bears – on defense and their ability to not only stop Daniel Jones from doing anything because he won't do shit, but then I also trust their ability to contain Saquon Barkley. They've been very good against the run sans the Packer game. I do not trust the Giants run defense at all.
No, that is, and anybody wants to check in my in-depth analysis, the Bears Giants preview is on the Patreon right now. Yes, they give up 135 rushing yards per game in this very early, early sample size.
Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, and last week, Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard.
Yes.
So now, yeah, Khalil Herbert, there's no David Montgomery, but Khalil Herbert's coming off a career game.
Yeah.
He's got to be feeling himself right now. I think Treston Ebner, if you give him an opportunity, he can make some plays. I think this offense not gets in a groove, but they gonna be able to do what they need to do to beat the New York Football Giants.
And the Giants are, like, the Bears have a lot of injuries. Like, the Bears aren't gonna have Demo or Jalen Johnson, but literally the whole wide receiving core for the Giants is out. The one dude they had on the Leonard Williams is out. You know, saying, so like, who the hell is, like, Sterling Shepard is out.
If you're the New York Giants, you are being, and this is the worst case scenario because he's terrible, you are being forced to play Kenny Golladay.
Yes.
We know what Kenny Golladay is right now.
Now, don't be a typical Bear and let Kenny Golladay look good, because wouldn't that be some peak Bear shit?
Yeah.
That would be some peak Bear shit.
Yeah. The New York Jets are in Pittsburgh.
But I am picking the Bears to win that number game, by the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jets are 3.5-point underdogs in the road in Pittsburgh. Who are you going for, sir?
They're underdogs in Pittsburgh?
The Jets are underdogs
in Pittsburgh. This game could go either way, honestly. And I think, is Galton Garrett Wilson's playing this week? This is going to be another nasty game.
But Zach Wilson's
back, which that Pat McAfee segment when he kept saying Zach Wilson's back, and then it was like, you know, they, nobody gives a fuck, which is very funny because they really don't outside of Jets fans. But I'm gonna take the Jets, not a confident pick because I can see the Steelers win this game too, but I'm gonna take the Jets because I believe in Zach Wilson more than I believe Mitchell David Trubisky.
I'm taking the Jets to win outright also because I believe in Breece Hall. And I think Breece Hall is going to have a nice day on the ground against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I'll go with the New York Jets. The Le'Veon Bell Bowl, if you will. big game in Philadelphia. Doug Peterson comes home. The prodigal son. This is the difference. They went to Washington last week, which, by the way, getting on party buses and driving to other your rival stadiums and filling up your rival stadiums is not impressive. We do it all the time. I know teams in the AFC West who still do it all the time. Just saying, Philly, I love you.
Get
your shit together. But this is the difference between Carson and Doug. They, you know, went down in droves on last Sunday so they can boo the shit out of Carson Wentz and jeer the hell out of Carson Wentz. They will welcome Doug with open arms on Sunday.
That was the question I was going to ask you. Did you think that they were going to cheer him? They should give him a standing ovation.
They will.
But it's also Philadelphia sports fans. We're talking about it.
They'll cheer him up until the start of the game and then they'll remember.
Which is fair.
And then they'll cheer him afterwards. Doug Peterson is on a Mount Rushmore of head coaches now. Like, I think for Philly is Doug Peterson, Charlie Manuel, Dick Vermeil. I don't know the Flyers too well, so I can't throw a Flyer in there. And then, like, I'm blanking on a Sixers coach because the Sixers haven't really been shit. But, like, those three for sure.
Is Larry Brown on the
– I didn't want to say Larry Brown because Larry Brown was there that long enough. It's probably Jay Wright. If I got to throw out a forfeit,
yeah, probably, Jay Wright.
John Chaney.
Okay.
If I start throwing in college, it'd get a little bit weird. But
we
can at least say, Doug Peterson's probably on that list. If I had to kick one, it'd be off. It'd be Dick Vermeil because he didn't win it. Doug did win it, and like
crying ass Dick Vermeil. I'm gonna be crying like Dick Vermeil in the theater when Black Panther 2 come out. By the way,
of course, no woman, no. I was crying like Doug Vermeil when the Cubs dropped that drone video earlier today. Shit was fucking beautiful, man. But anyway, Eagles 6.5-point favorites at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is a pass for me. I love the Eagles, but I do think this is a spot where the Jets might be able to backdoor it and come back and cover. So I would pass entirely. I do think the Eagles win the ball game, though.
Yeah, I think the Eagles win the ball game. I put this on my sneaky good games list on I'm Not Gonna Hold You, which is available now at thebcnet.com. I think this is a game that if the Eagles pay, you know, take care of business and don't lollygag, they should win this one by double digits. But don't let them stay around. Like, you know, I know Trevor Lawrence is looking good, but I really love that defense in Jacksonville. They got a really fast defense. The defensive line is fast. And you let them stick around, they could bite you. You know what I'm saying? And you know they want to go in there and win this game for their coach. But if the Eagles, you know, what's the cliche to all athletes and teams say? If we just play our game. But honestly, if the Eagles just play their game, there's no reason they shouldn't win by at least 10 on Sunday.
And the Eagles got to play a complete game because so far the Eagles
have not done that yet.
So far the Eagles have 14 second half points. That's all stemming from that first game. They have not scored in the second half against either the Vikings or the Commanders. So I want to see a complete game out of Philly before, like, you know, we really start to crown them. But they look the part. They for sure do. This is the London game, 9:30 a.m. out here on the East Coast on NFL Network.
Look, man, Roger Goodell thinks I'm waking up to watch Kirk Cousins versus the Red Rifle at 6:30 in the morning.
Is he thinking about you, though? Because, no. Like, let's be real. This is Kirk Cousins versus Andy Dalton. I think he knows that only half of the country is going to care about this.
But this is my whole thing, and I said this on my show about the whole NFL London shit. I understand expanding. Them niggas are never going to love this sport, bro. Their sport is soccer, bro. I don't think they're going to ever love it.
It's not about that, though. Because it's still a great contingent of fans in the UK. Like, London has a great contingent of NFL fans. Germany does. I don't think the mission is ever to be like, hey, we have to make the NFL the premier sport in Europe. Because it's never that. For one, it's always going to be soccer, football. And then you probably get a couple more sports after that, including basketball, before you even get to football. And I think that's known. But I definitely think there is a market for it, and there's a market for doing these games, and they do sell well. And they're nice. They're a nice little niche thing. Like, when the Bears go to Germany, when the Bears go to London, it's hella Bears fans that go.
Yeah, and not that, because a lot of them who still, they only play 85. Like, there was a lot. I saw, like,
half. No, but I mean, like, a lot of people from here.
No, I know. That's why I'm. Like, it was, like, half of my IG timeline was in London 3 years ago for that game.
Yeah.
To watch, that wasn't even Mitch. That was Chase Daniel.
That's right. That was a Chase Daniel start.
Yeah, Mitch was in. Out. Yeah, and to watch the bit. That game was when I let me know, okay, this season's gonna be some bullshit. Yeah. that was a game.
I was right talking there. Cash shit, and all.
Every Bears fan was coming into that season, and we scored 3 points in that hyped Bears Packer game. Oh, it took Mitch 3 games to throw a touchdown. Oh my God.
Kill me now.
And as bad as that were, they still weren't bad as the 22 motherfucking White Sox. But I got some for y'all on He Gone next week. Hey, man, look. I ain't mad at it. I've been mad Cub fam talking shit to me. I'm not mad at y'all. Talk y'all shit, please. Talk all the shit you want. We deserve each and every ounce of slander that comes our way. You did.
I told y'all so.
You did.
2 years ago, I said you need to hire Bruce Bochy. Now what's happening 2 years later? Bruce Bochy.
No White Sox fan wanted Tony La Russa.
That's fine. That's okay.
I wanted AJ Hinch. That's what I wanted.
And that was the smartest move. And I thought that was the one who was going to be. But Jerry was all up in this thing. I gotta rectify the problems. And I said, listen, like, to He Gone next week. This is what's gonna happen.
Yeah. Now listen to He Gone. We thought we'll get into that next week on He Gone. We got a whole podcast.
That's fine, but I do have to say this one thing. There was a lot of crowning of the Chicago White Sox before they ever won anything. It's a lot of crowning of the White Sox for that.
I have nothing to say. I have no defense. Y'all are right. And it is what it is. I have no defense whatsoever to defend this. I have nothing to say. We deserve every ounce of slander.
Now I just want the fish behind the Twins so I can really laugh. But that's neither here nor there.
It doesn't matter. Carlos Correa leaving next year.
Hey, I hope Carl's career saw that video.
I will say I don't buy the Cubs getting all the free agents, though. I believe that shit when I see it.
We'll believe it when we see it. I think they got a. I think they're a lot more attractive than
they're always attractive. It's the fucking year. Cubs.
No, I mean from like a player standpoint. Like they played a really good second half, so I think there's a lot more intrigue there. Also, good to see a strong black woman and Ronda Rousey on my television. the Vikings are getting 3 points in that London game against the Saints. Andy Dalton starting. I already bet.
Yeah, I'm going Vikings, bro. Going to be a lot of grittying going on in London.
Foggy London town.
Yeah, a lot of grittying going down. Justin Jefferson going to have a game.
Yeah. The Buffalo Bills. 3-point favorites on the road in Baltimore.
This is
your game of the week.
Yeah.
Baltimore bounced back really nice, and Buffalo. Well, both of these teams lost to the Dolphins. So, like, you know, either way, this is a tough game to read because Baltimore has a really nice defense, and I think Baltimore's defense can do what it needs to contain Allen and Diggs. I'm still probably going Buffalo and Buffalo covering, but it's going to be a tight game.
Yeah. This is something to me where I'm nervous. One thing I'm nervous about with the Bills is their secondary just for the long term because the fucking Ravens secondary sucks. So I'm expecting a lot of points to be scored in this one. Because as great as the Bills pass rush is, you know, Lamar going around. I will say this. I'm a man of my word. Lamar has been shutting me up for the first month. If he continues to shut me up, I will take back every comment I ever said about his throwing ability. I keep telling you, I do not hate this man. That was just my opinion. If he does this for an entire season, I will come up on this podcast. I will come up on I'm Not Gonna Hold You, and I will tell y'all I was wrong. But I am worried about the Bills secondary this year because Micah Hyde, he's going to be out for the rest of the season. They got a couple other guys injured in that secondary. We still ain't got Tre'Davious White yet. So I'm nervous about that. But as far as this game, I think that they are going to make one more defensive play than the Baltimore Ravens will. So I think they're going to win a very high-scoring game.
If you are interested in betting it right now, Baltimore is getting 50% of the bets. And 82% of the money. So folks seeing some interest in Baltimore covering by 3 points. And I think that's likely. I'll still take Buffalo. I'll wait till the last minute if I want to bet this. And I'll wait and see if that line craters, if it gets to like 2 or something. And I'll take Buffalo. But like I said, it's going to be a tight one. Divisional matchup. Tennessee Titans against the Indianapolis Colts. And the Colts, I believe, are in the lead. In the division, which is weird. Yeah,
because it's the worst division in football.
Yeah.
7 wins might legitimately win that division.
Colts are 3.5, and I'm seeing at some places 4-point favorites. I don't look at last week. I think last week was a must win, and they needed to get that one against Kansas City, and they're motivated to go out there and play well against Kansas City. This might be a good letdown spot for the Colts. So I would take Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with the Colts just because I picked them to win the division. And even though I'm not taking too much from last week, because last week was a must win, I still think them being at home. I think you know Matt Ryan had a pretty solid game last week. I'm gonna pick the Colts in this one.
My co-star saying hi, by the way. The Seattle Seahawks are in Detroit. The Lions are actually favored in a football game. I can't remember the last time the Detroit Lions were favored in a football game.
It was 2 weeks
game.
Ago. They were favored against the Commanders. First really? Time in 18 games. Yep.
I felt like that was like a back and forth line in favor of Washington.
Nah, they were favored by like 3 points. It was the first time they were favored in 18 games.
I thought it was 1 point. Either way, 3.5-point favorites for Detroit, which I'm sure is the largest line that they've had in a really long time.
Yeah.
They covered this. I've been really impressed by what Dan Campbell's been able to do. I think this offense scores. I guess that's more of a credit to Deuce Staley, right?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Amon-Ra St. Brown will not be playing. He's out this Sunday. Yeah, but I mean, that being said, it's the fucking Seahawks, and I can't believe I'm saying it's the fucking Seahawks in the game with the Lions, but it's the fucking Seahawks. You know, I'm not outside of, you know, Geno looked good in week one, but besides that, get out of my face. And Aiden Hutchinson is looking like a grown man. I'm going with the Lions.
Yep. Let's keep going through some of these shitty games. The Browns are in Atlanta to take on the Falcons. Browns are favored by 1.5. Where are you going?
I'm going to regret this, but I'm going Falcons. You know, I one thing about the Falcons, I still think they're going to be drafting 3, but that offense has been better than I thought it was going to be. They're putting up some points. This is a game where I feel like Jacoby Brissett's going to have to, like, you know, score, but also at the same time, Nick Chubb coming back home, you know what I'm saying? He's going to have a lot of his family there. He's prone to have a big game. This could go either way, but I'm going to give a slight advantage to the Falcons. I'm going to go with the Falcons this week.
I'm going Browns. I think the Browns offensively have been surprising good. They're top 6 in running and passing. And like, the Falcons are bad. I don't like the Falcons. The Falcons got a nice little win in Seattle last week. Good for them. No, it's the Browns. I don't understand why this line's been dropping. It opened at 3. Now it's at 1.5. It's probably going to get to a point by game time. Browns all the way. The Chargers are in Houston, 5.5-point favorites against the Texans.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm going Chargers.
I'm also going Chargers. The Washington Commanders are in Dallas to take on the Cowboys.
It's going to be a nasty game, but Cowboys win now. Cooper Rush for the win.
3 points. 3-point line, it is Carson Wentz. Yeah, give me Dallas. Hey, Arizona Cardinals. That goes my light. Arizona Cardinals taking on the Carolina Panthers. 1.5 points in favor of Arizona. This is the late game on Fox, which means I will for sure be asleep.
Yeah, I'll be recording 7th and Hollis when this game's on, thank God. But I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
I do not trust the Cardinals.
I don't trust them either.
Don't trust the Panthers, sorry.
Going
with the Cardinals.
Baker Mayfield going to be holding the clipboard eventually.
Very, very soon. God, do you think there's going to be a quarterback controversy with Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold?
It just might be when Sam Darnold's healthy.
The mid-off in Carolina?
Yeah, do you want to have cancer or do you want to have AIDS? Which one?
Jesus Christ, man. Denver taking on those shitty Las Vegas Raiders.
This is a game.
2.5-point favorites are Vegas. God, it's going to be a bad game.
It's going to be a bad game, but the reason I have it on my sneaky good list, I'm not going to hold you, because it's going to be a sneaky, like a bad game, but like competitive, but bad. You know what I'm saying? This is the season for the Raiders. Like, this season's already on life support. I don't know who's the last team to go 0-3 and make the playoffs, but this season's on life support. But if you lose this game to a division opponent, and now you got where the Broncos would be 3-1, pull out them mock drafts, brother. It's over. So I'm going to go with the Raiders just because they have to win, and I'm not impressed with Russell Wilson whatsoever, him and his little danger witch. Anybody say, oh, y'all call Russell Wilson corny because he take care of his kids and he love his wife. No. Go watch that fucking Subway Danger Witch commercial and tell me this nigga ain't corny.
I don't think I've ever seen that commercial, but I can guarantee you it's probably corny.
It's corny and cringeworthy.
Though that sounds like Russell Wilson. So, like, you know, I mean, I actually think we're seeing more of the corniness from Russ now.
Yes.
Now compared to Seattle. It's weird. I'm going to go with the Raiders for that simple fact. If they go 0-4, it's a wrap. And Josh McDaniels hasn't won a football game. I don't think his last like 10 games.
Under surveillance.
Getting back to that 08 season where he lost a lot of games in that season. Yeah, bro, you were back under surveillance.
The season, you know, that brought us Jay Cutler in.
The Raiders won't fire you.
Yeah.
The Raiders won't fire you because they've already got so much money pumped into so much other shit. But don't feel like this is comfortable, man. Like, this team is designed to start to win as soon as possible. Devontae Adams did not come over, so he can go 0-4.
Yep. Mark Davis spent a lot of money, traded a lot of assets. paid a lot of guys, re-signed a lot of guys. And that's why I feel like that's what they're talking
about. Shiny new fucking stadium in Las Vegas, man.
The Aces just won the WNBA championship, brother. Pressure's on in the city.
Don't blow it.
It's Aja Wilson City, nigga. Y'all don't want that to be.
It is her city. I mean, it was her city already, but.
Yeah, it was, but it's really hers right now.
Right. The New England Patriots. It's going to be 10-point underdogs. Right now, it's just at 9.5-point underdogs. It's going to be a blowout.
This is going to be one of them, the Green Bay Packers, they're a threat in one of them type games. These niggas going to put up like 35. Now, I will say this. If these niggas don't put up at least 30 on this
Patriots team, nigga,
tell anti-vax boy to leave now. If you can't put up 30 on these niggas, family man, and he can't even be a family man. His family man don't like him, so he'd go golf or some shit, and they can go something.
I love that tweet. I love that tweet last Sunday. Brady and Rogers, like, y'all, I hate my wife. My mother hates me.
They said, "No, Brady Rogers loser has to talk to their family after the game." That was a good one.
Oh, that's fucking good. Oh man, how about that Albert Pujols, huh?
Albert Pujols is a prime example of being ain't shit wins sometimes.
I'm not going to do it. Kansas City and Tampa Bay is your Sunday night game. Rematch of the Super Bowl a couple years ago. 1-point line in favor of Tom Brady in Tampa. Although there's some intrigue to this game, like it's happening in Tampa as of now.
Yeah.
But and I don't think it's going to be moved. I think
if it's going to be moved, it'd have been moved by now.
The storm's passed. So like right now it's all about rescue and recovery, and I don't think that
it's, and that's not for rich niggas. I hate to say it, but
exactly.
It is what it is.
So 1-point line. Kansas City's better.
I think it's gonna be. I think that line is. It makes a lot of sense. I think it's gonna be very close. Mike Evans will be back, so that's a big boost for the Bucks. I don't know what Julio Jones' status is. I don't know if he practiced this week, but I did know they say that he is close. So maybe they get him. The Chiefs' offense been looking shaky the last 2 weeks, so there's a concern there. Mm-hmm. And this is a must-watch game just because it's probably the last time we're going to see Brady, the GOAT, and Baby GOAT go one-on-one. Right. So it's a must-see for that. I'm going to take the Chiefs by a field goal. But you can sell me on the Bucks winning, too. This is going to be a competitive game.
Yeah, I agree. The Chiefs won it close. Monday Night Football in San Francisco, the Niners. Bring
your bulletproof vest.
1.5-point favorites against the LA Rams. I think the betting favorite should be the Rams. If you're gonna wager on this, Rams are plus money. Hi, baby. Rams are plus money. They are the better team. There's a concern there about Trent Williams. And that offense did not look good against a Denver Bronco team that they should have theoretically handled.
Yeah.
To get 10 points against that team, I'm looking at you a little bit sideways, Kyle Shanahan. You got 10 points against the Bears. You got 10 points against the Broncos.
Under surveillance.
What's up,
man? That's probably what you name this episode, Under Surveillance. Like, there's a lot of niggas under surveillance. Kendall Roy is on the top of that list, the coach of the Niners. I'm going to pick the Rams because no Trent Williams means a lot of Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
A lot of Bobby Wagner, you know, a lot of them. Jalen Ramsey might even do a couple blitzes. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be real nasty. And even though the Rams offense hasn't impressed yet, I do think that they're doing what champions do. In the regular season, stay afloat. Stay afloat. They know how it takes to win. I never thought these words come out of my mouth. Matthew Stafford is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. They know what it takes to win. They got Cooper Kupp. You know what I'm saying? Who knows? They might get Odell. I think Odell's either going to go back home. There's these three spaces I think Odell's going to go to. Odell's either going to go back to the Rams, either going to go to Buffalo to join Vaughn, or he's going to join Brady in Tampa. Those are my three places that I think Odell might go. But I think they'll have enough. I think the defense of the Rams has been very impressive, and I think the offense will do enough. So I'm going to go for the Rams.
And then our final game – As always, we do Thursday night for the upcoming week. God, we're almost halfway through, or a quarter of the way through.
Bro, that's the shit. Like, NFL season takes forever to get here, and in blink of eye, that shit goes
by so quick. Next Thursday night, we get the Colts in the Denver Broncos. 2.5-point favorites are the Denver Broncos.
Where's that?
It's in Denver.
It's in Denver?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know who. That's because both of these niggas are smelly. Oh, man. I'm going to go with the Broncos just because they home. But I'm not confident in that. What's so fucking ever?
I would agree. This is going to be one of them. Well, damn, at least I'm working Thursday, so I'm not going to be paying a lot of attention to it type of games. God, yeah. Yeah, Broncos. I don't think there's anything else to say about it. It's going to be a shitty game. That's it for us today. Enjoy week 4 of the NFL season. We'll be back next week to chat about it and to move on with this season. If you got anything to plug, I'm trying to get out of here.
I don't really, I'm not going to hold you out. 7th house will be out this week. BCnet.com. That's all I got to say.
Yep. I am at Cameron Santo, Scott's at Barbershare, Scott on Twitter at BarbershareNet, on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/BarbershareDigital, TheBCN.net is where you can find us, all our content, all of our web content will be all up on there, Patreon.com/BarbershareNetwork. $10 will get you all of the exclusive Saturday at the House episodes, all of the exclusive Summer Session episodes. So check in with that. We also want to send a special shout out to our boy Amp from Random Acts Podcast right here on Barbershop Network. Love you. Appreciate
also,
you, bro.
J.R. Bang, he's going through a little family issue right now.
Yeah, man. So
prayers out definitely for Bang and for Amp, man. Keep them in your prayers.
Prayers out for Scott and this little fucker right here if you're watching on video. I am Pierce. We will see you guys next week. Enjoy the football.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.